This is a production of Cornell University.
Let's see, Wednesday, November 16th, meeting of the Employee Assembly. It is 12:20 p.m. We have a couple of guests with us this afternoon. If you two want to introduce yourselves.
Hi, Rebecca Foster. I'm a reporter from the Cornell Daily Sun. I'm Paul Yang. I'm from the Daily
Sun. Welcome. Hello. So, any late additions to the agenda? Since we don't have Joe Lawley here today, I'm going to add, maybe we can spend some time talking about talking points for our meeting with the President and Mary in December, since we don't have too many meetings before we meet with them. And so moving on to approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Does anyone have any changes to the minutes, additions, deletions, corrections?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving on to business of the day. I received an email yesterday from Joe Lawley. He was unable to meet with us today. He just presented to the UA Infrastructure Committee yesterday, so he was not prepared yet to join us today. So he's deferring to a later meeting, and we'll try and get him on either one of the December meetings or in early January. But I know... Thanks. I know there was some discussion about transportation at the UA meeting last night. Was there anything that you...
There was. The UA did present a resolution to pass, to accept some changes to the accessible parking permit and the retiree parking permit. But we tabled it. We needed further details. Particularly, we were asking for them to include what the current policy is and what the changes are, because it seemed like there were so many changes going on that we didn't really know what exactly how to compare that to what had been proposed.
So that was tabled until next week. Okay. And did you see any of the changes? Did they get any?
It seemed that, as best as we could tell, and that was part of the problem, we really couldn't tell, that the change would be that accessible permits would be at a cost of the perimeter, the lowest fee, and that retiree, again, it was, the details were a little sketchy as to what the deal there was, so we were looking just for more information.
So hopefully Joe will come soon and meet with us and give us an update.
Thanks. Why would you do a fee?
Why would there be a fee? Because they were still saying that a handicap permit could be for A lot and O lot, but that if the need was there for someone to have access to a place that wasn't on the perimeter, that they would issue a handicap permit, but it would be at a fee because it would be in a more...
But is there a handicap parking in A lot?
Well, there is handicap parking in A lot.
No, there is, and what... You know, basically, if you have an accessible parking permit on campus right now, you don't pay any fee. So the idea would be that if you needed to park closer than A lot or O lot, you would have to pay, but they wouldn't. If you had to pay, park, say, outside of Day Hall, you wouldn't have to pay that tier. You'd pay the lowest paid tier, but you'd still have to pay.
And then also information in there about that if your department so thought that it was necessary for you to have a permit that was closer in, that the department would then pay for the permit.
So, more news to come on that in the future. Any other questions about transportation for the little that we know? Okay. The next is the resolution to move internal operating rules. So this would be the one that we talked about very quickly, and then I sent the email out about moving the chair of communications to a vice chair position and making them part of the executive committee. And as Ari explained, right now a lot of our changes have to be passed through the president. This would make it that these smaller changes wouldn't have to go through his office. Did everybody get a chance to look at it? Did anybody have any thoughts, questions, changes? No? So can we vote on the resolution as it stands?
I move
that we vote on the resolution as it stands.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Opposed? Sorry.
What is that word?
There's another word.
Yeah, I'm like, who would say no? Sorry. Abstain? Okay, great. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Moving on to an update on the President's address. The executive group met with Bill yesterday to kind of go over Bailey Hall setup, so we've got that all figured out. The briefing and talking points have gone over to President Scorton. And thank you for those of you who passed along other suggestions and things to add that I haven't thought about. The groups who are going to be receiving the award, I've started contacting them, and they're very excited. So that is all moving forward. So we can't get into Bailey Hall until 11:30. We can't get into the space until 11:30. So if everybody could be there at 11:30, prepared to kind of help do whatever setup we need to do. Be prepared to usher. And Bill has George Holt. Is he going to be kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, so George Holt, who works with Bill, will be there to kind of spread people out and help us. We really want to make sure that people move down to the front and sit centrally so that it doesn't look empty.
I have flyers, so if you could just take how many you think you might need or be able to hang in various places.
Are they going to be great. Circulated to building ambassadors?
Yes.
That went out yesterday or today.
Great.
Awesome.
And I spoke to Nancy as well. She's going to cover it for an article in the paw print. There will be a photographer there, and it will also be in the Chronicle and the paw print, the next two. The next paw print, next paw print that comes out.
We're going to do a paw print flash, and it's going to be on the website.
Flash on the day of?
She didn't say what day. Just on the agenda.
Can you send the PDF of that?
Sure.
Live streaming?
I've got to check with Andy Page, but that is in the works. We just have to find out how much it's going to be, but yes. And Leslie's got the live stream link on here.
Five.
Yeah. I mean, it's moving forward, just we don't know what it costs yet.
And I'm trying to negotiate some good price for sandwiches through dining, but still waiting to hear back from them. Not easy, is it? It's not easy, and I didn't threaten that we'd go off campus. I just indicated that we would prefer to stay on campus. And hopefully they'll be able to come up with something.
And we're all wearing our red shirts, so if you haven't gotten here, you have to see Amy.
Is it going
to
be warm in there, Bill? So short sleeve shirts in November.
The lobby will be somewhat cool, depending on the weather, but the interior temperature is set for 72 degrees.
Perfect.
So once the doors close and the breeze goes away, it will be warm.
Anything else in the President's address?
Did you get my information about the United Way?
Yes, I did. And is somebody sending him an ask as well? I made it.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I think
I'll just
say we're waiting to hear back from us about whether they needed to do it.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I forwarded an email to Terry Burdick, who
letting her know.
Yeah.
Okay. So should I tell Paul to do that?
Yeah, he wants to do it as well, so that it comes from both ends.
Yep. Are we doing the flower giveaway? Is that what it was? We couldn't remember what we did last year.
We did a couple different giveaways.
Tabs on the program.
Right. And we did flowers, and we're working on getting flowers. We don't know if we have those yet. We also did some hockey tickets, if I remember correctly. We did some Schwartz tickets.
All of that was for the United Way part, or for the...
For the United Way part.
Remember,
anyone who donated already
right.
or who made a donation at the thing got...
I don't know what they're prepared to do. Were you at the Gary? Were you at the United Way meeting last week?
The hockey game?
No, the meeting before the hockey game.
No.
I missed that meeting, so I will have to talk with Paul because he did say they wanted to do another drawing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done no publicity about it. And
right.
So
I will just follow up and confirm everything. Okay. Anything else in the president's address? So can I, I do that. I just want to clarify. So the drawing that we did was for people who submitted pledges.
Who submitted pledges either prior to that date or...
Right. Yeah. And, but then there were also dots on programs that was a different...
The dots on the programs were for the flowers.
That were on the stage.
Yeah.
And are we still doing that?
If we get flowers.
Got it.
We don't know what there will be at the end of November.
Right.
We've been working on that.
Okay.
So, Tanya, when you're asking people about the cost of the live streaming,
mm-hmm.
would you just ask how much it would also cost for them to caption it?
I think that, where did I see that they were
sending it? Within a communication meeting, it goes up
a lot. It was more about that they would even have the time to do it.
Okay.
Time to catch it.
Time. I don't know if it's time for a setup thing. You know, I don't know if that's time
for. I don't know, but I can ask.
Okay.
I can ask them. I don't know. I know we have a limited amount of time when we can get in there and do our setup and whatever. I don't know if that has bearing on the captioning piece or not, but I can ask Wendy. And if we can, we will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on the president's address? All right. The next thing, Gary, do you want to talk a little bit about the Town Gown Award?
Sure. I'm always looking for ways to get our name on different stuff. So our office is starting something every year called the Town Gown Awards, Togo Awards, we're calling it.
Togo?
Togo.
Oh, Togo.
Togo.
I know.
Town Gown. It used to be the
Town Gown Award. It could be Togo.
Yeah. Whatever you need. Yeah. It used to be like this by invitation only thing at the Statler, and it was really kind of grotesque, like go to the senior prom or something. So we're doing this thing at the Law Auditorium at the Beck College. It's open to the public. Gordon speaks. And I just asked Tanya if we could list the employee assembly as like a supportive organization for this event. So like right now the Public Service Center is helping us and the Cornell Commitment and United Way and the Human Service Coalition and the Chamber of Commerce. And I just wanted to list the employee assembly as an organization that was supportive of the concept of recognizing proactive town gown collaboration.
What's the date of the event?
December 3rd.
That's
in the morning. It's just 10:30 to noon.
What is the criteria for nominations?
Usually, like a direct cash payment to me.
That's only the
that's freak.
You know. So, I pull together like people who do outreach up here and work with like community organizations on a regular basis, and just get their feedback. There's some areas I wanted to like hit on. So this is the first year we're going to do it. We're going to do it forever, or at least until I'm here. And next year we'll do the event in town. So this is all off the record, daily sent folks. So for instance, a Togo Award winner will be CarShare. Okay, so it's like a community thing. We've really been helpful trying to get that off the ground and like that. The Cornell Student United Way campaign. Another good example of something that goes on up here is connected with an organization in town. There's a college discovery program and a lot of our outreach folks work with the Ithaca Youth Bureau. So really kind of just like nice things that they're positive, and I just don't think, and part of it is I don't think Cornell tells its own story well enough sometimes, and this would just be another venue to do that.
When is the event?
It's December 3rd. If I can get you some information, can we get it out on the CAE news?
Yeah, December 3rd?
Yep, it's in the morning.
Well, yeah.
I'll get you some stuff today.
Okay.
Go cut and drive. And
And I want it to be sort of like whimsical and fun. I mean, these awards are like really kind of like, they look like Oscars. And it's like, you know, so I just want it to be like sort of like a non-Cornell event where people aren't too rigid, and it's just, it's whimsical, it's fun, it's informal, and I'm really thanking people for partnering with us on different things. So that's that.
So who do you want to, anybody can come?
Yeah. It's open to the public. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I might be sitting in law auditorium with 34 people and lose my job in the aftermath, but I think it'll be all right.
Any other questions about the town gown? Well, is there anything we can do besides get the word out? Let us know.
Thank you.
Did you say you wanted us to put our name on it,
Jerry? I just wanted to be able to list that the employee assembly, that this event is coordinated by the Office of Community Relations with support from, and then just 7 or 8 organizations, including us.
So do we need to agree to that?
So do we want to take a vote, or should we? Okay. All in favor of supporting the Town Gown Awards?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thanks. You have to say
yes. Opposed. Opposed. Why did I know you would do that? You should abstain, Gary.
I'll abstain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The only other thing that I have is Bridget and Beth and I will be meeting with Mary tomorrow, so if anyone has any last minute things that they'd like us to cover, let me know. I didn't hear anything, so I didn't know if anybody had anything.
It's been a really hard semester in terms of loss in this community.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mary is carrying that very personally.
What are you referring to, Leslie?
There have been a lot of deaths. Fast deaths, student deaths.
Which is random right now.
Yes.
There's been 2 deaths and dying in 2 weeks.
Two and dying in 2 weeks.
Oh, there's been a lot of heart attacks and illnesses like that happening.
Really unexpected things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this isn't something to say to her, just to be sensitive to that and maybe acknowledge it with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Other items? Okay. Moving on to committee reports. Leslie.
The Communications Committee met last week, I think. We talked about supporting communications for the President's Address staff, so we handed out assignments for that and did the flyer. We also, we haven't talked too much about the trifolds, but we have these beautiful new trifolds that Gemma did for us and or facilitated for us, so if you could just take some and then put them in places you think people could pick them up or hand them out to people who might be interested in the EA. That would be great. And we have more in the EA office if you need them.
And we're going to try and have them on the table, I think, at the President's Address we decided yesterday.
Yeah, we should have those in our banners.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a banner up in the lobby, probably. Our
where does that live?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does it have a stand? Is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what we put in the lobby?
Yeah.
Great.
We talked about the EA survey. I have a phone call with Yasmin Miller from SRI tomorrow. She has agreed to come to our December 7th meeting, so she should be put on the agenda, and we're going to talk about survey questions at that time. So I will send around the survey questions that we have drafted before and the objectives for the survey. And if you guys want to just take a look at those before that meeting, that would be good. And Steve, Perrine is going to work up some drafts on a EA logo. So I'll have those at some point to review for everybody. Okay, it looks like I'm going to try to get on EAE News here very soon. I'll work on that today or tomorrow. And anything else, committee members?
Yeah. That was it.
We're going to have a communication plan for the survey. So
we did talk
Andy
about
Page is working on that.
Starting to work on a logo. Oh, she said that?
Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
A question about the survey.
Yes.
Are you having the demographics on your survey?
I don't know, but what would demographics of our employees, you mean?
Yeah, are you going to ask, are you male, are you female, you know, race, ethnicity, you know, just the same ones that were on the end of the Cornell employee survey?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think, do you think we need to do that? I mean, I'm not sure. That's not really...
I guess if you think you need it, all I'm suggesting is that you use the same ones that were on the end of the Cornell employee survey because they've been vetted and are
right.
Comprehensive.
Right.
But I thought for most of those, we didn't even really need, like, if they're male, race, because it's a net ID and that's already tracked. And I thought, like, the only real questions like they didn't have was the disability one. And the sexual orientation, because that's not information that's collected through HR.
Right. So I guess my question is, do you want to collect those two pieces of information for any reason for the email?
So the two pieces would be the disabled and the what?
Sexual orientation.
I don't think that's not the purpose of the survey. So
okay.
I don't think so. But maybe Yasmin has a, maybe she has a little more perception of that, but.
I couldn't hear you, David.
It's not.
I just think the sexual orientation questions are offensive. They're not totally unnecessary.
I attended the diversity conference on Monday, and I felt the same exact way until I went to the LGBT session, and I kind of got turned around by that. And the people who are offended are not the LGBT community, it's everyone else. Why would you ask that question? Well, who cares? Why do you want to know? Why is it important?
Yeah.
But what I learned was, if in fact we are trying to address a certain population to serve them better, that's the only way to get the information.
Yeah.
And to make sure we're representing all of those categories.
Right. If it's not a population that is, if it is a population that we want to serve, in theory, it should be in the university's database, right? If they want to know what ethnicity you are and they want to serve you better,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in theory, it should just be available.
Yeah.
The idea that we have to ask the question separately is kind of invasive, I think.
Yeah.
But he said, he said that's the only way you're going to find that out, if, in fact, you want to serve that population, which, according to certain research, is underserved. So, is that fair to say? So, yeah, it is a kind of weird question to ask, I would say.
But if we don't have that data, then there's only one way to get it.
Right. So, I don't know if the questions on our survey, regardless, won't make a difference if we know that, then we could leave it off. But if it will make a difference if we know that, then we should put it on.
Okay.
And if it is put on, should there be a small note, maybe kind of explaining why they're being asked? Maybe that would help people.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should add it. That's up to
No, I'm just saying that it is added.
The committee and the EA.
Okay. I think once the questions are developed, we can decide whether or not we would want to know those responses, really not the different populations that we develop the questions. If demographic breakdown makes sense to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I think to me, a more interesting breakout would be, if people are answering is exempt or non exempt staff.
Yeah.
That to me is
that would be
more in line with what we're looking
for. What we're looking
right,
for.
In
right.
terms of ability to participate in support of the
management.
You know what might be a good question just for, future staff is if you have a same sex partner and take advantage of Cornell's benefits as such. Which I think Cornell's awesome as far as I go, because there's all these, it really doesn't matter, if you have, if you're married or whatever, you have a partner, they're covered. But how do we know how many of our people take advantage of it,
That's correct.
That
actually
should be tracked.
That is correct, because of federal
HR.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
there's a tax implication through the federal law, which cannot be changed, in which gay couples get taxed on the benefits. So you know how Cornell puts away each pay period, Cornell's amount, your amount, that Cornell's amount gets taxed. So it could be $1,000 a year, and it looks like the employee makes $1,000 extra a year in their tax code.
I remember talking about that last year, I think.
It's a portion for the person's partner, not for themselves, that is by federal law taxed. And there's some couple universities and some corporations that gross up that employee's paycheck as a benefit specifically for that situation.
I think anything we can do to enhance sensitivity and awareness is wonderful. I interviewed this guy last year who was transgendered, and he went from woman to man, and he was just so grateful about the help that Cornell gave him along the way. It was wonderfully inspirational, and I learned a lot about the whole process about doing transgender and how long that takes and everything else, and felt better off for the conversation.
New topic seems to come up a lot. I was wondering if maybe we should invite someone from LGBT to come and speak with us.
Good. Matt Sarcellum.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he'd be very.
What would be the
open to come?
I think the UA just did a resolution about gender neutral
bathroom.
The essay.
Oh, I could give it on the UA.
Actually,
the SA did pass the resolution, and last night at the UA meeting, a resolution was presented. There was a fair amount of discussion on the wording of the resolution. They had changed neutrogenital to unisex. And then there was actually a lot of discussion about whether or not we're studying social engineering, and whether or not, how does that affect a society when we start making accommodations like this. I think that was a very interesting conversation. We did table the resolution. The other part of the resolution also included neutral general unisex locker rooms and shower facilities. And some of the committee felt that it was too broad, that maybe they need to be separated. And there was definitely a lot of discussion, and it was tabled for the next meeting because they needed to do some reworking on the resolution. And so when we were talking about maybe inviting somebody and trying to get some more feedback, I think that would be really helpful. Very good discussions going on there. So that's what happened to the resolution. It did not pass. It just got tabled for the next meeting.
You didn't have a lot of good productivity.
Well, actually, a lot of things were actually brought up, and we were right down to the wire, and I think some people really wanted to continue on, but it was getting late, so it was just a matter of timing.
Who's chairing the UA these days?
Melissa. What's your last name?
Lukashevich.
Any other thoughts? We were on communications and we came around a little bit. Any other communications stuff?
No, I just, just about, I mean, just think, that if we're going to have somebody come, it should be on a topic focused on staff. And it should, there should be some focus about it, not just a PR piece on what LGBT does. Because I can go on the website and find that out.
So does anyone have thoughts on what we wanted to talk about?
The resolution for seeing the song.
Would that be, is that across campus or is that specific to residence halls?
Oh, no, it's across campus. It's definitely across campus. And
what is it?
It's the
gender neutral restroom
facility.
Okay.
That multi-stall?
No.
Single stall.
So all for all the single stall restrooms. Mm-hmm. The student assembly passed a resolution that they all be designated as gender neutral. So any, like, I mean, but right now, no. Like, at least in the school of hotel administration, that's the policy. Like, if you go to any of those singles, they're mm-hmm. all.
Okay. It's not labeled as male or
female. But can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I did a lot of work when I was an undergraduate about gender-neutral restrooms, and what we found was we didn't want to use the word gender-neutral because we're not saying that gender doesn't exist, but we don't want to perpetuate this idea that it's a binary form. And so what a lot of progressive institutions come up with is all-gender restrooms. Instead of saying unisex, mm-hmm. we just...
Yeah, gender neutral.
Yeah, because it's basically yeah. trying to limit the idea. But
that's
true.
That was
part of the
discussion
about why not just restrooms.
Well, no, but that's the terminology. It's more all-gender restrooms.
Which is really a good suggestion.
Yeah. Well, then, does this impact, like, the wellness?
So that's raising
your hand. Centers, like, are, if they go so, like, gender-neutral showers, what does that mean?
The resolution was for new construction, which we have no new construction.
Okay.
So nothing is changing. But just to comment on your comment, I think if we do bring someone like Matt Cresella in, I think based on what I heard him say on Monday, it would be very helpful for this group to have an understanding about what LGBT encompasses, because it was much more than sexual orientation. It was gender, all these other things.
Yeah.
And maybe talk to us about how this affects the employees on campus and concerns he might want us just to tell us, so that it's on our radar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that might be it for him. You know, give him 20, 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever.
So there must be an HR component in here, though, somewhere, right? I mean, in terms of sensitivity or mm-hmm. protocols or even just say I'm coming out and I want to tell my colleagues what provisions are in place, what suggestions are in place that someone could access, you know, is there anything like
that? There is a resource listing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the sites that changed since our department changed, but it was Workforce Diversity and Inclusion. It's now called the Department of Inclusion and Workforce Diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a list. So the individual that you actually interviewed last year, we had been called about resources.
Mm.
We had a listing of various resources to help the team and help the individual
mm-hmm.
as they went through the transition. So, and I think that we did work with Matt to look at so there are some up there. Could we enhance it? Of course, always. You know, and would be very welcome to any suggestions. Anybody?
That'd be good for us.
Yeah, we do have a list.
And there's
a page that has resources.
And there's a college network too.
Yes,
for LGBT.
You know, speaking of college network, I was thinking it might be good for us to have Kathy come in to talk about college network groups.
I think that would actually be a very good conversation.
I think so too.
Because.
Would some of the stuff be maybe for our retreat? Would that be a good topic?
Well, I wonder if we wait until after we get the results of the survey. I wonder if we would see some information in the survey about what the climate is for people who fall into that LGBT category and whether there would be things we could think about doing as a result of the survey and use that as research for that. I don't know if we want to wait that long. That's December, right?
Yeah, it's the survey ends this Friday.
Has there been any info on the response rate?
When Beth and I met with Mary right when it opened, it was already a 30% response rate.
Nice.
So that was really great.
Yeah, something about that.
That's wonderful.
I don't want to put exact numbers, but I think it's going to be very respectful because. According to survey research, anything above 33% in an organization survey is good, and we well exceeded that.
Great.
I haven't seen any more emails. Is emails going out to just the people that?
I think it just goes out to people who haven't done it.
Yeah, I said the same thing because I was like, I haven't seen any follow-up. We usually want to do it a couple of days before the end of the survey. Usually can kick up about 10-12% in response rate just by doing it like 2 or 3 days before the end of the survey.
I thought the last email I saw a reminder on that said that this was going to be the final
final reminder. I may be mistaken.
You didn't do the survey yet?
No, I've done it. That was a while ago, though.
Maybe that might be something to bring up with Mary at the meeting. Just, I guess, now that the survey is about the close, what communication plan are you have in mind in terms of disseminating and presenting the information? Because I'll be very curious.
And I already gave that to her as something that we wanted to talk about tomorrow. So
communication committee would like to be involved in that. Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be cool if we could make a website with like all the aggregated data and just let people go in.
It will be on the web, is my understanding.
Yeah, IT usually. Like, if you go up there, you can see the pulse survey for the students, you can see the faculty survey results.
But those are just based upon results. I was actually thinking like more like, you know, have you ever been to like the Chronicle of Higher Education when they have like certain data?
Little bar graphs.
Like you, but you can create it. Like you can say, I want to see this, not this. Yeah.
That.
That's highly unlikely. Well.
Take it out, Curtis. Take ownership of that. Come on. Take it out.
We can have some hotelies do it with their business computing skills.
Okay.
Do you think it might make sense for since we submitted the original resolution, if maybe even before Friday, a note could go out from the employee assembly saying that we, you know, that we were the ones who brought this forward, and that we really would value to have people's voices. I don't know if it would make any sense, but.
Well, I think I could probably write something up and send to you guys. And Amy's already around because he's usually the one who can send out that big list, right? Oh, you can do it. So, Amy, if we get something together,
awesome.
Can you send something out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful. Just to really try to get, you know, people to realize we really want to, you know,
Something. I haven't seen anything on the all staff list about the president's address yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Well, the one you sent out to all the employees. Does he think that's the list you use, right? All employees? What list are we just talking about then?
The EA.
Jimmy's text.
Are you talking about an email that the president sends out or something that we give to him to send out?
Just
anything
announcing. Okay. Announcing that the president's address.
Okay.
Yeah, people don't know about it. November 28th. Yeah.
So can we send this?
Usually a conference class, but he doesn't just send an email back to say something, I imagine.
Well, no, he doesn't have to send it, but we should send something.
Oh, it's got to go out.
Yeah. I thought that was on my, when we split up the tasks, that was on your task.
Sure.
We need to get something on the homepage.
Which is Peggy.
Peggy's doing that.
The timing's a little awkward, but mm-hmm. people are coming back, right?
Yeah. I don't know when she's going to put it on the website, but she's got it on there.
Great.
Okay.
Moving on to Jeannie. You want to talk about personnel?
Yes. Yeah. We had a lovely meeting yesterday. We have four participants. Linda, Gary, myself, and Carrie Porter. And I don't have background on who she is. Alumni of yours. So we talked about the past of the committee, personnel committee, and what they've done and sort of how they operate. Linda shared that the union contracts are basically untouchable by anything that we may recommend for staff. We talked about our topic of concern, which is the overall bereavement policy. And our goal is to review best practices in different categories. So we've divided the categories. Everyone will do some research on corporations, best employers, Ivy League schools, and then similar other colleges and universities. Gary brought up a recommendation that we bring in Josh Adams, the sole policymaker for Cornell.
He runs the policy office, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the policymaker, the policy coordinator.
Came to us.
Yes.
And so we're trying to set that up in the near future so we can develop the process of how it will be going through.
I just had an image of a schoolhouse rock.
I went to a training that Josh led about campus policy. It was a 3-hour training. It was like captivating throughout how policies are made, where they come from, who signs off on them, how many, I don't know if any of you guys have ever looked at the policy website. There's a Cornell policy on policies. And then, but there's a search, you can put anything in there, climate weather, pets on campus, smoking, ethics. And I asked Josh the other day, I said, when stuff happens like current events, how are our policies adapt to that? For instance, the Penn State thing. Okay, what would happen, what should happen, if one of us saw something on campus? And what would be our responsibility? What are the protocols? It's very interesting. Then it depends on what state you're in. I think New York State's law is different than Pennsylvania law.
There was something in the paper today that they're looking to change New York State law.
Is that right? So, yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. What's Josh's last name?
Yeah.
And then, so our plan is to do our research and obviously keep EA in the loop on what we're finding, create a spreadsheet that identifies differences and unique things that other places might offer. To look at this with a 15 to 20 year objective so that it's still relevant and not necessarily tailored to the moment. And then also to create the 100 scenarios of what if to see whether what we are recommending, if we recommend any change, would address those. And we will be completing our research by the end of the year and then having a meeting again in January.
Thank you.
And Jean did an amazing job.
Good.
Yeah.
Linda, does the current bereavement, does that come out of 6 times?
There are, I believe it's 3 days, and it's under funeral leave. It's
so it's a separate.
Yeah, it's called funeral leave. It's not bereavement leave. So we're going to look under both funeral leave and bereavement leave as we do our benchmark work to see what different universities as well.
Do you guys have issues with the policy as it stands up?
No, not necessarily. A staff member brought it up to me, and we talked about it at the two meetings ago, that it is very short for someone who's a death of a child.
A child or a spouse.
Or a spouse, an immediate family member, that it is just too short to cope and deal and manage and
only 3 days is pretty standard though, most of the places I've ever worked those 3 days. But I actually just read that policy because Monday I took a break in the day, but it said if you wanted extra time it'd be easier to teach you now. Which is at least they're willing to give it to you. They're like take the time. But they're not gonna pay for it.
So we're gonna look into that and what's out there and also what are other options for how someone can take time.
For example, one of the things we discussed is, and I don't know the answer, but you know, can be sick leave because in a sense you're unhealthy. You're not well mentally as you're dealing with that breathing, and that's part of mental health. So we just want to see what others are doing, how others are finding it, and see if there's any innovative practices that we can
And also, do you really want somebody who's only had 3 days to get over the death of a child or spouse around?
No.
I mean, I don't think it would be
very
around.
Stressful.
No offense, but it would be kind of awful.
Yeah. There's a couple ways of looking at that, too. I mean, sometimes getting back to routines and the support of staff members can sometimes be helpful,
but it should be up to the
It should be up to the
right. Yeah, right. That's exactly
Because I would sit in my office and just close in the shade and sit there all day.
Right.
And be there.
So we also talked about you know, support network for people who have a coworker that might.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe part of our report, which I'm assuming we publish reports at the end of, we've looked at this, blah, 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 would include those resources,
right?
That the committee looked at this, this was their recommendation, and if you're in a situation, you can contact
me. Does the FSAP right now have any kind of bereavement or grief groups?
Not in terms of like an ongoing group, because there's so many of those in the community. Hospice has a wonderful, and we do send those information about that out very regularly over some of our listservs, okay, to make sure people are aware of those. But what they do is if an individual work team is impacted, they will meet with that team for a while to help them. Whether it's they lost one of their colleagues or whether a colleague has had something horrific happen, and how that work team can help that person as they're kind of readjusting back to work. So both circumstances have been supported, and it's really done on a case-by-case basis, but it's definitely there, and the counselors are very experienced and very excellent with helping teams through that.
And then you steer people, when applicable, to the pet support loss group too.
We talked about that because pets were one of the concerns that came up, because more I'm hearing of people who, you know, canine family members, canine or feline or whatever
right.
Pet is, you know, and I was sharing that somebody that I knew couldn't come to work for a whole week after losing the dog. They were devastated, and I did share the vet school support group, which she did reach out to. So
support group
that's
missing is through the hospice care anyway, is there's nothing for teenagers. They have groups up to 13 for 12, and then they go 17 for 18 and up. But there's nothing for that middle age group.
Are you sure?
I have to have a bereavement group. I mean, that's not that group that you're talking about, but they have a bereavement group.
I lost my husband 4.5 years ago.
Yeah, let me check
my daughter.
Because I used to be on that board, and I just want to see, you know, that's a big gap.
It is a very big gap, because I noticed through the IHS listserv, they've been sending out announcements about grief support groups for children, and the one group goes to like 13, and then the next one starts at like 18.
Oh, that's horrible.
And
I mean, you're getting it wrong.
I haven't heard back from her. I emailed her, and I said, don't you have anything for 13 to 18?
So you emailed Constance?
Yeah, I emailed the woman who was contact for the other two groups. So I'm like, you really need to have somebody for this age group as well.
I'll find out.
Kathy, what resource were you using?
CAPS has one for college students.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of when I was asking about whether we had one for that perspective.
We do have other support groups. It's just I think the decision was made that if the community offers a tremendous amount of support in a certain area, what we were finding is not a lot of attendance for a couple, like children with special needs as an example, that we finally just only one or two people that were showing up, because it's a very active group in Ithaca. So we've been really directing people to that.
Make sense?
Any other personnel-related, committee-related questions, issues? Anything else, Jean?
No.
Is there anything you want to put in the EAU news about?
That you could put in, perhaps, that we met, and this is our topic of discussion.
Could you write something up for me?
Two sentences.
Two or three.
And then maybe certainly if there's any other policy that somebody else
is concerned about.
It's concerned about whether or not we address it this year.
Under old business, Bridget just said that she can give some updates from some other meetings she's been at, so we'll do those.
Yeah, from the UA meeting last night, there were more committee reports, and the welfare committee reported, and I believe, Leslie, are you on that committee?
I am, but I couldn't make the last meeting.
Okay, so I can comment on a few brief things. They were talking about a child care center, and I believe that there was a recent survey that had been completed.
I haven't been to a meeting yet.
Okay, well, it sounded like there was a recent survey that had been completed and that there was an increase in satisfaction with the center.
It was less than a year ago, the last one.
Okay.
Yes.
And that, but they did comment that a suggestion was made that perhaps we should consider, or the university could consider, a sliding fee scale, you know, because it felt like it would limit the use of the center by some of our graduate students and by some of our lower income families. And I did note that when the child care center was at Martha Vann, they did have a sliding scale, and that that is something that would be wonderful if somehow that could be worked out. But I believe that now the child care center is run by an independent organization, and that's probably why that we moved away from that. But
no, it's actually not right.
Okay. Well, I guess that was brought up as that they really felt that, in particular, grad students was the population that they feel could benefit greatly from something like that.
Can you apply for a grant?
I would say can grad students.
Well, yes, I was going to say there's different grants that exist, and you know, it's definitely something that is being looked at, that is on the radar.
And then also the committee reported that they're looking to increase outreach, again, in particular to grad students. One of the suggestions was more articles in the Daily Sun, but it was noted that the Daily Sun, being an independent organization, wasn't really the vehicle to use, that perhaps the Chronicle was the vehicle to use. And I believe that's about all I can note on the Welfare Committee. The code committee did report. Curtis, did you go to
the
Do you have anything to add there?
Yeah. I am not a lawyer, and I see things in black and white, so this is a very frustrating committee to be on. But right now, apparently the Board of Education just came out with this called Dear Colleague Letter, where they wanted schools to look at their sexual harassment policies. And make sure that the appeal process of it equals the same amount of burden of proof, or whatever the school determines as the burden of proof, that is equal for both the respondent and the defendant. So like in some schools, the only person who can appeal is the defendant. Like if you don't like their case, and how does that meet with... So last year, I wasn't even on the committee. It was so complicated, the sexual harassment policy and what is, and then the whole appeal. So they created a separate committee to come up with a recommendation on addressing Cornell's. But now we have a new committee, and we want to dissolve that committee and bring it back to our table. And so for the last 2 weeks, I've been reading all about sexual harassment. So I feel like I'm an expert at it. Understanding. Yeah. Thank you, Dad. That's on
stage. Right there for the
record. And so right now we're looking at it and redefining it and seeing if it's going to be a JA or if it's going to be in a whole separate entity that's going to handle it. And so and I imagine this is also going to come up with the Penn State incident. You can kind of see how that can kind of weave into this in terms of the process and like evidence and stuff like that. So it's going to be really interesting. So if you have any thoughts or suggestions, I welcome it, because
it sounds like we have another special meeting today.
Yes, we have a very, very, very special meeting today.
Code and Judicial Committee?
Yes.
Yeah. I was on that for a while, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing half the time.
It's all law students.
Yeah, I mean, really. I think the EA representative needs some front-end training, because it's like, I just felt welcome. I felt sort of like, you know, I just felt like I was like, the token staff person, and we're the lawyers.
But it has a big implication.
No doubt about it.
Like, I mean, I agree with you, because I was like, I need to see policies. I don't know what that word means you just said. I think that's Latin. I mean, but I'm really trying to learn, and I'm going to all the meetings, so it's going to be fun. But
it has a code of conduct involved, too.
Yeah.
Staff is involved in the campus code of conduct, right. And it's really an important thing.
Yeah, because even like, let's say if a staff has a complaint, it's so interesting because right now it's separating for staff. So if we have a complaint, we don't even go to JA for issues of sexual harassment. We actually have another form of process, and are we going to create that for the whole community or if it's a student versus a staff? And how does that impact? So,
yeah.
Or student now community member, yeah, or staff. And, yeah.
Good, and those minute meetings are up on the UA site if anybody wants to read them. I thought it was very interesting. I hope you guys are deep into it and hopefully can make some progress.
Yeah.
Also, the infrastructure committee reported. And David, are you on the committee?
I am.
Did you happen to go to the last meeting?
I wasn't yesterday, and I didn't get any, like normally I get a summary of the meeting. I didn't yesterday.
I believe that the TCAT and the rural bus routes are on topic, but it sounded like they were waiting for some more information there. And then, obviously, the whole parking resolution, and then that got tabled. So that was about it on the infrastructure. And then the planning, campus planning committee reported, and Jeannie, you missed that one? Okay. It sounded like most of the meeting was about the President's Sustainability Committee and how that's kind of now part of the Planning Committee, or what roles actually have changed and what roles haven't. But one of the topics that came up at the UA was questions about why that was done, and then now who and how people get appointed to those committees, and how does that affect, or if it does affect, the purview of the UA in regarding to the campus planning. So that sounded like that's what they're kind of talking about right now. But that was, I think, a really good question that came up at the meeting, and wondering about, and hopefully those questions will go back now to the committee, and we'll be able to get some answers for the UA in particular as to how that might change.
I'm on the President Sustainable Campus Committee, and I'm not quite sure about the question.
I guess the question was why the changes were made initially to the way that the planning committees were laid out and what committees there were.
Yeah.
And then now who is actually and how people get appointed to those committees,
mm-hmm.
and how that affects the purview of the UA regarding campus planning.
Okay. I can grab that if you want me to.
Anything else from the UA?
No, the only thing was that the two resolutions, but we've already talked about that. So.
Great. Does anyone else have any old business? So, quickly on to new business. If we could take a few minutes and maybe just start thinking about what we want the President and Mary to talk about when they come to a meeting on December 21st, right, Amy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have anything so far?
We have nothing so far.
I thought the results of the survey.
But
okay.
I think that's going to be
huge.
Yeah, because sometimes we get confidential information from them. You know what I mean? There might be things that they're not really generally going to release publicly, but they will discuss it with us.
When Bridget and Beth and I meet with Mary tomorrow, if we can ask her when we might have some of the survey results. If we can get those early enough, maybe we can look at them and find some specific points where we just don't spend the time just generalizing a survey.
Wait,
go ahead, Sam. I have a question about layoffs. Because I know a bunch of people who are in units that people are still being wholesale laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to update on what's going on with that, what the effects are, and when it's going to stop.
We
Mary reported that it was done.
Well,
it's
done with the exception.
CIT is cutting
right.
the head off of the
month. My understanding from the last meeting with her is that CIT is still going through their process, whereas like administrative streamlining started a long time ago. Now we're at the end, and now we're looking at CIT, and that's why we're seeing the bigger hits there. But, you know, her sense is that in general, the rest of campus is done. And I've asked the President to address that in his address to the staff about the layoff. So if we don't get anything there, we can certainly, I'm
that's truly affecting a lot of what we do in Manly Hall, and the availability of, like closed captioning that came up earlier about Manly Hall, they're not going to be able to do it because they don't have the staff to be able to implement that. So it's effectively.
So, you know, it leads to the question of, and I think we talked about this in the executive meeting last week, right, wasn't Ari talking about that, you know, with email going down and whatnot, you know, they're making these cuts to CIT, and we're seeing all these problems and, you know, email being down and, you know, how else it affects the campus. So are there things that we should be thinking about and talking about and bringing up to the president about how it's affecting the work the staff does?
Well, and also classroom technologies and all that sort of streaming, and they are overwhelmed with the amount of work that needs to happen and have no staff to do it.
I don't want to point fingers, but you might want to ask her if it has more to do with Ted Dodge taking over, because it seems like he's trying to streamline and make things more efficient and so on and so forth. And it almost seems unrelated to me than all the financial difficulties we just went through. You know what I mean?
Unless he has a mandate.
He does. What Mary shared in her meeting is that they have to make a budget cut. And like many other places on campus, that budget cut is a
pretty hefty one.
Aren't they
cost
recovery, though, so that smile isn't working?
Over the course of the
summer,
I was going to say one thing that I was curious that we did ask him last year, but he didn't answer, was looking at the Bain report and the implications rolled out, is it actually saving us money? And you remember we asked him that question, and he didn't answer it.
Is what saving us money?
Is the recommendations actually saving the university money?
The Bain recommendations?
Yes.
Have the changes that we made.
Well, they kind of interpreted them to their own right. Is that right?
He didn't really answer. He was like, it's still, he said something like, it was still too new.
Well, from what Mary said at the last meeting with her is that the budget's like 90% in balance now. So those recommendations, I think, have affected some changes.
I think I asked him once if Bain was a worthwhile investment when he said absolutely.
Was
it worth paying them to come up with the recommendations?
I'm trying to think of a time when David and Mary were here that really worked well.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, sometimes we ask questions out of curiosity, but it really doesn't get us anywhere, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the answers that we get are really long.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, well, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm just trying to think about a time where they came in, it was really productive, folks were engaged, we got some stuff that helped us represent staff.
Well, that's why I'm hoping if we can get the survey data in advance that we can really hone in on maybe two or three questions that we can really delve into.
How about when we do a pop? How about when we do an EAE news? We say the employee assembly is meeting with the president and the vice president of HR and on Christmas Eve, and then you know, are there any questions that you'd like to be and throw it out there? At the very least, we'll see if anybody's
reading
it. And you know, we're not guaranteeing that we're going to use the questions, but
right.
We might get something that
really
we're not thinking about.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
You know, specifically on the survey, and one of the questions we had asked Jerry was about the individual unit breakdown each time that the president's own. So I would be curious to know what his plans are when he has individual unit breakdown.
And also, I'll be curious, we might scratch this idea, is at that meeting, we should have a response if we got the New York City head campus there.
There was a small update last night on that as well, and the decision has now been moved to January.
Oh, so never mind.
Any other off-the-top thoughts for... Well, if anybody thinks of anything else, we'll add them, and at our December 7th meeting, we can kind of pull together the final things and get them to them.
Should we ask them about music restrictions? I mean,
I just think it'd be cool to have some of the bridges, or at least the most dangerous ones, done before finals in the spring.
Well, I think.
I know we have some on that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really. Yeah, I don't. It's not necessarily just up to us. It's up to
the Common Council.
The Common Council. So.
That's a really good question, though. Has anybody heard any updates on that?
Yeah, they were getting there. I mean, the city doesn't want to have any investment in it. Right. So we're working on a memorandum of understanding that makes it cost neutral to the city. And now it's getting kind of lawyered up. And then, of course, like you guys said, the 7 bridges, and 3 of them are ours. And we should be able to get ours done first. But it's... We're getting there.
Is there any chance that it'll get done before the new Common Council takes off?
No, it's 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the university would go ahead and complete on the 3 bridges that they own?
It would still need to get city approvals. Just
oh,
like
even still.
Anything we do on this campus needs to get building permits or from the city. And there's an incredible number of aesthetics tied to this thing, too. New sheds and everything else.
Anything else?
Okay, can we give an update on Susan Holt?
Sure. I would be glad to give an update on Susan Holt. We have all 6 of our speakers lined up. The first Susan Holt will be on January 19th. So that's the Thursday before classes start. And Myra Sabir will be our first speaker. She's worked in academic advising in the Arts College, but she also does meditation on Wednesday, so we miss it because it's happening right now. She does life writing. She does a lot of interesting things to get people thinking about the meaning of life. Other speakers include Provost Fox, Dwight Carroll, who is Catherine Thrasher Carroll's husband and a professional musician, and he has provided music at some of the Soup and Hopes. Last year he did, and this year we're not sure whether he's going to be providing us music or a story. He gets to choose, but we've opened it up so that some of our stories of hope might be other than speaking.
Is this up on the website?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because we don't have all the dates set yet.
Okay.
We're waiting for
that. We're going to try to volunteer for one of the dates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have Syed Rahman, who is a Muslim man who works at the Lab of Ornithology, new to Ithaca, and don't know what he's going to talk about. Parveen Tarawa, who is Shawkat Tarawa's wife. I don't know if you know of Shawkat. He is a faculty member in Near Eastern Studies, and they are faculty in residence. And she is Muslim and wears a head covering. Not a public speaker, so we need to provide lots of love for that one because she's nervous. And we have a Dream Act student, an alumna, who will be coming back and sharing her story of being an undocumented student and what that was like for her. Was that 6?
Wonderful.
So it's every other week starting the 19th of January.
So Kent Fox has a divinity degree, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Yep.
In addition to being an engineer.
Yep. And in connection with the Soup and Hope, we have Images of Hope. If you get Pop, Print, Flash, or email from me, you've seen we have 1 submission already from this table. Actually, 2. If you have an image of hope that you want to submit, please send it in. It's not a juried exhibit. It's just whoever sends in. I kind of get to determine the appropriateness. the rules are vague enough to permit that. But we will hopefully be able to use this exhibit in a variety of different locations around campus to brighten up the winter, the dark winter for people.
If you need more, if you don't get enough, let me know.
I will let you know. Right now we're just at 1 per person. I was hoping to be inundated after the Paw Print Flash the other day, and I got 1. So, but people are crazy busy right now. We're going to do another flash in September. And
And I like the sustainable mugs. I don't know if you want to share that. It's
right.
A wonderful idea.
So we will, at Soup and Hope, we will be selling for $5 a mug that has a spoon that says Soup and Hope on it. And they're very cool mugs. And it's $5 is what they cost, so we're not making any money on them. And some folks have already decided that they're going to buy them for their staff to encourage their staff to come to Soup and Hope. It won't be a requirement to use that mug in order to get soup, but we're excited about the mugs because they're pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anything else? All right, I think we're done. Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.